Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, this is Stephanie from Safeway. Exciting news! Safeway, Chevron, and Texaco are offering even more savings at the pump. Now through September 8th, shop at Safeway and redeem up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards at participating Chevron and Texaco stations and at Safeway fuel stations. Shop Safeway this week and earn up to $1 per gallon in gas rewards. This is Stephanie from Safeway, and we'll see you soon. Maximum gas reward at participating Chevron or Texaco stations is $1 per gallon in a single fill-up, up to 25 gallons for a limited time. Other restrictions and exclusions apply. See complete details in store or at Safeway.com.
It's time! With Bruce Buffer. And now, it's time for the voice of mixed martial arts.
We are live!
It's Bruce Buffer.
Bruce Buffer.
It's time. From the shores of Malibu where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Florida where the UFC is coming, we are live! This is This Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry, we will voice it for you. We talk about everything on This Time. President Trump, politics, TV, film, sex, drugs, rock and roll, UFC! And we've got a lot to talk about today, folks. I'm here with my co-host, TJ DeSantis.
Hey, you almost said the wrong guy.
Very special guest. I almost said Tony, but I'm saving Tony for the man that truly deserves Tony, because it's Kill Tony. He's one of my favorite comedians of all time, one of my good friends, great guy. Love laughing my ass off with this man. Love watching him and having him make me laugh my ass off. None other than Tony Hinchcliffe. Tony, how are you?
Hello. Hanging in there. Crazy times. How are you, Bruce?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. And yeah, it is crazy times. You know, and Tony, you being the supreme example of stand-up comedy, supreme example of Netflix specials, comedy stores sold out, Kill Tony shows, traveling with Joe Rogan, the height of everything, at the height of entertainment and comedy world, and then boom, right? Some people call it Black Friday when it hit the stock market. When the poker industry went down, we called it Black Friday. I don't know what day this came out, but I remember in California, the Stay at Home came out on Friday. It was like a Black Friday. Comedy, one of the greatest gifts anybody has given the world of entertainment. How is it, Tony? There's no live shows. There's no audiences. Your Monday night shows, the comedy shows, comedians making their 50, 100, 500 a set now can't even get that. Give us the lowdown on what's going on in the world of comedy and with you.
I mean, it's a complete shutdown right now. It is absolutely wild. It is something that, you know, a lot of industries could never foresee a pandemic. In the comedy business, you have multiple choices. I mean, Mallory, see, even my dog's upset about it. In the comedy world, you have choices, you know. You could also do some acting. You can, you can be a writer. You can do all these different things in the comedy field, as well as stand-up comedy. And a lot of people have doubled down, you know, thinking that, you know, writing's boring sometimes, a 9-to-5 job in an office writing for a TV show. Acting sometimes can get tedious. You don't get to pick your roles, this and that. And a lot of people, like myself, doubled down thinking that nothing could ever stop live shows. You know, I do a live podcast. I perform every single night live, whether it be on the road doing my own big shows or whether I'm in the heart of the lineup at the Comedy Store where I live in Los Angeles. And for this to completely make it so that people cannot be around one another is something none of us saw coming at all. And I put all my eggs in the one big live show basket. And it is a pandemic. For sure. You know, more than even the shows, though, I would say the worst part is really just not getting to be around other comedians every night. My daily, nightly habits were socializing, having a couple drinks, you know, taking notes on my set with, you know, with a joint or with my friends and talking about the process and talking about what I'm working on and having breakthroughs about what I'm going to do next became my creative process. So, you know, I'm having to find new ways to create, to try to write, because my habits that I created over, you know, over basically 13 years have come to an extreme end. So it's a complete life change.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think about this as you're describing it, and I know because, you know, I had the It's Time Comedy Night comedy show. I've definitely come out and opened for you two or three times. I've been to your show multiple times. When I think about the fact when we're all in the green room watching you guys interact, you know, these, you know, you being the comedians, I realize that you do feed off each other. You know, you feed off each other for motivation. You feed off each other for material. You feed off each other to try your shit off each other, to see who laughs, who doesn't, to get on each other's case. That whole camaraderie, working the shows multiple nights a week. Damn, Tony. I'm thinking about that. What a withdrawal process that is.
It's,
you can only get so much in a Zoom meeting, you know?
Oh, God. I absolutely. I mean, it's the only people that we can really relate to.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you get it. You're in front of lights and adrenaline and energy and, you know, having to encapsulate years and years of work into one big explosion night after night. And, yeah, I mean, imagine if that was every single night, and that's what we're dealing with. It's a tough time. At the same time, I will say that it took a global pandemic for me to relax, you know, to get enough sleep, to drink enough water, to eat healthy, to not be on the road absolutely continuously every weekend. It did take this. So the one good thing I can say about it is that I got a vacation, which I never thought would happen. You know, I'm one of the few guys that would never take a night off in Los Angeles ever. Never. Even if it was the day I was flying back in on a Sunday, I would still be at the Comedy Store that night.
Yeah. No, I believe me. I know that for a fact. And, you know, you bring up another key point, and this is something I brought out on the show the last couple of weeks. Personally, I'm taking this moment. We have to reinvent ourselves. We have to rethink ourselves. We have to adapt to the fact that life has changed permanently in many ways, yet to remain to be seen what's going to be permanent and what's going to be temporary. Obviously, the handshakes are gone. Man hugs are gone, all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, this is a chance that I think, yes, let's take time to take our rest. I'm doing the same thing too, Tony. Not to travel, not eating the shitty food, not going through all that process, getting more in tune with myself mentally and physically. I was telling everybody last week, I'm taking this as an opportunity to get in the best physical and mental shape. I'm in the best physical shape and probably mental shape I've been in over 20 years. I've lost about 16 pounds now, 10% body fat, getting back, working out, training. I am ready to charge, and I'm going into May 9th like a fighter training to fight. But that's my normal attitude. But I never realized how much, when we don't travel the way we do, more sleep, more thought, more family time, more taking care of ourselves. It's just like you look outside and the air is cleaner, the water's cleaner. The earth is like almost saying thank you for this pandemic in a very perverse way. And at the same time, if I'm going to be stuck home and quarantined to the level that I am, like all of us are, I want to make the best out of it. You know, I can't just sit here and cry about the negatives. We all are crying about negatives in some way, shape, or form. But if you don't take that self-motivating positive attitude, this damn thing is going to beat us, and it's going to beat us bad. We got to come out of this strong, not come out of this weak.
Right.
So we can adapt. Now, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
The money you make doing your Kill Tonys, your live shows, your sets, your this and the other, are you able to recreate any level of that income? I don't need to hear numbers in respect to what people are doing with, are you doing video comedy shows? Are you thinking out of the box to provide comedy through a stream to the people that love you and are your fans? How are you working that?
Well, actually, crazy enough, even though we have, you know, an extremely live podcast, normally in front of a packed live audience in the main room of the Comedy Store, we evolved immediately. I have a very, we'll say, Dana White approach to putting on a show. And
so you want to be a comedian? Okay, got it.
And so that first Monday in which the Comedy Store was closed, we streamed a live show out of the Ice House with no audience. And I compiled a list of, the producers compiled a list of questions from fans that we never acknowledge, basically, because we're always running the format of the show, which, of course, is I pull a name out of someone that signed up for the chance out of a bucket. They do a minute of stand-up comedy, and then we interview them for a few minutes afterwards, find out more about their lives. So they don't ever really get to hear about our road stories or about our routines and habits and things of that nature for the last 7 years that we've been doing the show. So I thought it was a cool opportunity to do that. And then in the following week since then, every single week, instead of having obviously a live audience and instead of having random comedians that we haven't met come on the show, the producers at the studio have been pre-selecting people's submissions. So we actually have people video in with a new minute of material, and then we interview them about their lives. So it's sort of like the regular show.
Yeah, it's like the regular show.
Yeah, except we're just missing out on all that energy, you know, all that live audience reaction. It is not the same. You're going to feel it coming up for UFC 249.
Yeah, 249. You know, 249. So, you know, the thing is, yeah, it's going to be different. But, you know, the thing about me, Tony, and you've been Octagon side more times than I can remember.
Yeah.
When I'm introducing, 20,000 people in the arena or more or less can definitely add to my energy, and I feed off it. But at the same time, I'm looking into the eye of the tiger. I'm looking into those eyes of the men and female warriors, and I'm always all about them and getting in. I'm going to be more center octagon. I'm obviously not going to be face-to-face. You know, we know that. But I'm still going to bring the heat, and I guarantee I'm so looking forward to it. I'm still going to light that friggin' place up, okay? I will light it up, but it's going to be different. It's going to be different.
Yeah. Bruce, I think you might be more terrifying. I think the fighters may be more afraid of you because there's not going to be any distraction. There's not going to be any crowd. It's just going to be you kind of, safely in their face. But, one thing I've seen, I don't know, Tony, I know you're a little bit of a pro wrestling fan. Pro wrestling has been incredibly awkward to watch without a crowd. It's been something else to see the WWE and how they have adapted.
Okay, it's interesting. I was going to ask you guys that. I was going to ask Tony about this. It was on my list. I know you love wrestling. I know TJ loves wrestling. And I enjoy it too, okay? How I haven't watched it. So you just brought that up, TJ, and Tony too. How different is it? And do you think that same difference with sports entertainment that wrestling is versus reality fighting that we do, is it going to be the same or is it going to be different?
No, it's not going to be the same. UFC is going to shine much brighter throughout this pandemic. One of the more awkward things about WWE during doing shows at this time is that the wrestlers can't get away from pretending like there's an audience there.
Yep.
Right. You know, they will do a move and then look around in an empty room feeding off of this energy that isn't there. And it is not believable. It doesn't make sense. UFC one-on-one in an octagon, I don't think they can... From what I understand, I don't think they can really hear or listen to the crowd anyway during that type of primal.
When you're fighting, you're fighting.
Right. Yeah. So very different. You know, a lot of the decisions and creative things that happen in professional wrestling are based off of the audience's momentum and which direction they're going. That obviously doesn't happen in the UFC. You can have someone that everybody hates, a Colby Covington type of character, obviously destroy someone, no matter how hard the crowd's booing. I think the UFC is going to shine through all of this. I think you should maybe, have you thought about maybe adding a little mojo to this? Maybe something like, it's finally time, or it's time again, or something like that.
Let's put it this way. I think it's truly, truly the moment we've all been waiting for.
Right? Oh,
And definitely, like that. Truly the moment we've all been waiting for. So
that's great.
You know me well enough, Tony. I don't even know what I'm going to do till I do it. And I will be bringing it. It's not show biz, it's show business, or it's not show business, it's show biz. We got to provide the entertainment. Let me ask you both a question here. This, in my opinion, because let's face it, we've never historically been in a situation where the world, not the city, not the state, not the country, the world is starving for sports.
The world
okay?
is watching. That gets thrown around watching. A lot. The world will definitely be watching.
Dana White once said there could be a tennis match in one end, a football game in the other, a baseball game in the other, and a fight breaks out in the fourth corner, and everybody goes watch the fight. Well, you know what? There's nothing happening there. There's nothing happening there. There's nothing happening there. A fight breaks out. Do you think this could be the highest watched sporting event in history or one of the top 10 highest watched sporting events in history?
That's a tough question.
Prediction. Prediction.
I think so. I think absolutely. People are going to want to watch from every direction. I would actually, you know, I'm going to pitch something here. I would actually like to see the UFC take a more WWE approach to their matchmaking and creativity. We know that the UFC fans are going to be watching these fights, obviously. Right. We know that fight fans are going to be watching these fights. I would like to see, in a dream world, you know, obviously not 249 since it's already booked, but I think at least as long as live audiences can't fill an arena, they should start to get a little more creative. You know, bring in people that aren't necessarily fight fans to watch these fights. Give a little storyline to it so that fight fans are telling their, you know, family members or girlfriends or this and that, why this fight's interesting. You know, an example like perhaps why not give the Diaz brothers each $1 million to fight each other and, you know, things like that. Get
wow.
these guys, you know, I mean, who couldn't recommend that to everybody that they know and love? Like, oh my God, these guys, they're from Stockton, California. They're jujitsu masters, but they're both very thuggish and, you know, unorthodox in their delivery and talking. You know, it's the type of storyline that you'd like to explain to people. So I'm with you on that.
I'm with you. Go ahead, Gigi.
Come on. I mean, I understand what Tony's saying. I mean, I think the issue here, though, like, it maybe is just an example, but I don't think there's enough money in the world that would get Nate to fight Nick
no.
because they have to hate who they're fighting. And
yeah,
I understand the sort of adjective of calling them thuggish. I don't think they're thuggish. I think they're hard. I think they're hard as hell.
Right.
And I definitely would want them, you know, on my side in any sort of conflict that wasn't, you know, a sporting conflict. And if it was a sporting conflict, I'm going to fight. I definitely want those guys training me. But I like the idea, though, of what Tony's saying, because at the end of the day, he said the one thing that is 100% correct. Fight fans are going to watch. UFC fans are going to watch. Casuals are the ones that move the needle. The biggest fights on the planet are the ones that get people that don't normally buy the pay-per-view to buy the pay-per-view. And if Tony is able to sort of spark some inspiration, those casuals are going to show up. And more importantly, they'll stick around afterwards.
Right. But okay, here's the thing, Tony. I like what you said, and I understand the reason behind it, as TJ said. But you have the Diaz brothers, Nate and Nick, going at each other in this scenario. All the USC fans know Nate and Nick. The non-USC fans do not know Nate and Nick. So
I don't know about that, Buff.
Well,
know about
yes,
that.
Yes and no. Yes and no. Maybe they heard some ancillary PR when, you know, when Nate fought Connor.
Yeah.
You know, I can see a little out. But let's talk about Tony's premise. Tony's premise is to provide a storyline to bring in eyeballs that don't normally watch the UFC. That's called a demographic outside of a UFC fan.
Right.
So one way to do that is you could take a guy like Logan Paul, who's got 22 plus million followers, huge influencer, who drew over 2 million pay-per-view buys almost when he fought KSI in a boxing match, okay, at $5.99 or whatever. People and influencers, when I went to that fight and an influencer would walk in the arena and the arena would go crazy, and I'm like, who are they going crazy for? I didn't recognize these people if I stepped on them. No disrespect. You know, they're influencers. I don't know every influencer. But these kids, young people and demographics knew them and couldn't wait to see Logan put on gloves and KSI put on gloves. Logan wants to fight in the UFC. He's got the ability to do a CM Punk style fight, you know, on a main card, an undercard, that would bring probably 1 million eyeballs that have not watched UFC, and you put them with somebody who is a good UFC fighter, and you create one of those fights. That I can see being more, and having the Diaz brothers each matched up against solid opponents, because what UFC fan does not want to watch Nick or Nate fight?
I disagree with you. I disagree with you so hard. If you're going to have Logan Paul come in and fight in the UFC.
I just said this as an example.
Sure. But that's fine. But this is where you lost me. You said match him up with a good UFC fighter. Why do you want to do that to Logan Paul? If you're going to have Logan Paul come in, if we learned anything from CM Punk, it's you need to make sure that your Mickey Gall is not a Mickey Gall. Okay.
Granted. How about this? Just match him up with a UFC fighter. It's just got to be somebody who's a pro.
No, a UFC fighter. So you're saying someone that's already fought in the UFC?
Yeah, but it's not like a you know. All right, then who do you match him up with? Another MMA fighter?
Another guy that's making his pro debut. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I got no problem with any of this. Just get him in there.
I'll make a pitch to you. Give him someone that's many weight classes lower. Who wouldn't want to watch?
It won't happen.
Unless it's in Japan. Or maybe it's on Fight Island. You can probably do it in Fight Island.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of excited about Fight Island.
Fight Island's not a place. Come on. If Fight Island's a place, it's called Costa Rica.
It's called Bring a Tux and a Surfboard, okay? I'm excited about Fight Island.
Right. That's fine. It's just not Catalina Island. A lot of people are saying, like, oh, it's going to be an island where you can do whatever you want. And it's like, is there even an island out there that is a completely sovereign that doesn't fall under any empirical, like, hierarchy of government? I don't think it exists. You can't have Dana White land with Dana White laws. I mean, I'd love it. $300 for the pay-per-view. There you go. Take my money. What are you going to show me? I'm interested. Is it going to be Tiger King? I don't know. I'm down. But
What about Epstein Island? Who knows?
But that's I've heard that. That's under British Virgin Islands law. So, no, Epstein Island still falls under the jurisdiction of the United Kingdom.
Well, I don't think they're very good at enforcing laws over at Epstein Island.
So. Sure. I hear you. But I'm just saying, like, if there are rules that are involved on mixed martial arts, you are still subject to those rules on an island that is, you know, governed by the United Kingdom.
You know what, guys? We'll see what happens. Listen, right now we're going into, like I said, we're all guinea pigs going into a test case where Dana White and powers that be are spending as much money as possible to put safety protocols in place. I can't comment on it. It's not my place to comment on it, but I'm looking forward. I mean, even if I had to be tested every day, if that's what happened with an antibody test, whatever needs to be done, let's be as safe as we can. Let's get some entertainment, and it's going to pave the way for whatever the future of sports is going to be. And Dana said the other day, it's going to be a long time, in so many words, before we ever see a live audience again. And that's where my heart goes out to you, Tony, because a long time before, personally, I can't even go watch the favorite thing I love to do, which is comedy. And you, for a long time, not to step out there and get your heroin fix of comedy to do it and make people laugh. Tony, my heart is going out to you right now.
I mean, it is wild. I had some of the most fun gigs of my life lined up for this year. I was supposed to open up for Chappelle and Rogan. We're doing shows together last weekend. We were supposed to in New Orleans and Nashville, me, Donnell Rawlins, Dave Chappelle, and Joe Rogan. Rogan's still on the books for Madison Square Garden in October. You know, I'm supposed to open up there, me, Joey Diaz, and Joe Rogan. And
What a lineup.
I know. These are things that I found out about in, you know, December, January, and it gave me a real skip in my step. It's hard to not wake up every day with a lot of extra energy, knowing that in October, you alone for 20, 25 minutes in the middle, smack dab in the middle of Madison Square Garden, are going to be talking about whatever dumb dick jokes you have or whatever, you know, any way to shake that room and to be part of that history. You know, the only two, three times I've been at Madison Square Gardens were for UFCs. And even though I get to sit next to the octagon, I'm so lucky to, you know, get to be so close to the action. Sometimes, especially on trips like that, I will meander around and find my way up to the main level for a few minutes to you know, see what an arena actually looks like. And that's when I realized how crazy special Madison Square Garden is. And, you know, it's just insane to see the things in the glass cases that have happened there. The, you know, the Hulk Hogan ripped shirt from WrestleMania 1 and the, you know, the hockey puck from the first Stanley Cup and all of these things.
Trust me, when I walked through the halls there and I saw my picture up in the octagon, I was like stunned that I could be on the walls of Madison Square Garden. Holy hell. You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It's something different to be on the walls long after you're gone than just being on the marquee, you know, for one night.
I don't plan on being gone for a while, folks, but we'll see what happens.
Right. One thing I'd like to say though to Tony, and I feel for him, a lot of people have been very, like you guys said, you know, reinventing and able to kind of find different sources and outlets to spread their creativity. And don't get me wrong, I think there's plenty of places that you can do that, and you've been doing that, Tony. But the live crowd of a comedy show, they're a participant. You couldn't do a set of stand-up on Skype, even if, you know, tens of thousands of, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are watching. It's still not the same. You can't feel them. It's the same thing with pro wrestling, like we were talking about. The performers there, you know, feed off an energy and look for it, and it's not there, and it's like, I feel for you too, because you're missing the biggest part of, I think, your entire experience, which is, you know, the reaction and like I said, I think the honest to goodness participation of that crowd, and you're not going to find that anywhere.
It's called laughter. Mm-hmm. It's called hearing laughter.
What's connection?
I hear cheers. Put it this way: in the WWE, not a single wrestler would go like this.
Right.
That ain't happening anymore. You know?
Unfortunately, Bruce, it is. And that's why it's weird.
It is?
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah.
They are basically still having trouble not acknowledging that there's not an audience, especially
It's hard for them. It's hard. Their whole routine is completely thrown out. My routine won't be completely thrown off because, again, my whole career, I'm announcing for the fighters. Yes, the fans are so important. I want to enhance their moment like there's no tomorrow. The show's not about me. It's about the fighters and the fans. But luckily for my entire career, I'm always on the fighters. So I'm with this. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to make this happen.
What's good about you, Bruce, you don't ask the crowd, you know, any sort of response from them. You don't need them. You don't ask, you know, if they're ready or make some noise or anything like that.
I make them ready.
Right. Well, you can still make millions of people around the world ready too.
Thank you. And I know they're ready. I know they're ready to see their UFC. So we'll see what happens. Guys, let's go over a couple of little things here. Tony, I know you're a big Laker fan, right? If I remember correctly.
Yeah. I'm a Laker fan.
You know, they're one of these groups that actually returned one of the loans. You know, they got a business loan for $4.6 million, but they heard that area was depleting. They sent the money back, just like Shake Shack sent the money back. Not like Ruth Chris kept it. Not like Ritz kept it. Okay, these people sent it back. Yeah. I think it's really cool. Have you been watching Tiger King?
Oh,
did you watch Tiger King?
I blew through that so fast. It was crazy. I couldn't stop watching it.
Good. Well, now Kevin Bacon wants to play Joe Exotic, and I think he's perfect for Joe Exotic to play. They're probably going to make a movie out of this. So they're already talking about actors. We mentioned earlier on the show Kevin Bacon, but now he's put his hand. He goes, I want to play Joe Exotic. And another one I thought was really cool was Charlize Theron. She could actually play him. She could switch over and play a man.
That'd be great.
But I want to see, I want to see a movie out of that. And the other show I've been watching is I went through and watched all of Ozark, which was amazing. And another show is called Money Heist. I want to recommend this to everybody on Netflix, Money Heist. It's a Spanish show. It's three seasons, and it's just off the hook.
Yeah.
Tony, we hit our 30-minute mark here. I've got news to go over. I don't want to hold you too long. You're welcome to stay on with us, whatever's good for you. So how are you doing on time?
I'm good. I'll stick around. I love it.
Okay. Okay,
can I
cool.
give a few of my recommendations that I've been going through?
Yeah, just about to ask. Go.
So after watching Parasite, which is a movie that I absolutely loved, I mean, I am the biggest Tarantino and Scorsese fan. I even have Tarantino right behind me here on the wall. I don't know if you can see that. Is it that
absolutely.
Way?
Yeah. Yep.
However, I was rooting for Parasite to win Best Picture. I thought that it was the Best Picture, even though you can never get me to admit that in any year that Tarantino or Scorsese's in the running. And so anyway, I realized I should probably go back and see what other movies that Bong Joon Kim, Bong Joon, the guy that made Parasite. I went back and rewatched all of his movies, and this is something I highly recommend for everybody to do, because Parasite was, you know, him. And yeah. All of his movies are very much along that incredible line of, you know, about money and about very much what we're dealing with in this country, which is rich people interacting with poor people and right. the very thin line in between. So go watch all of those movies from Bong Joon Kim, I believe is his name. If you just type in Bong. All of his movies will pop up on Amazon.
I think
Amazon.
If you type in Bong, you're going to get a few other things too, but that's okay.
That's true. Some wild,
that's right. You'll
scary movies are out there too.
Just have your Bong in one hand and your Bong movie in the other, and it's movie night. It's great. Bring in the pizza. All good.
100%.
And make it a Grimaldi's pizza. Make sure it's a Grimaldi's pizza, Buff.
By the way, speaking, I do work with Grimaldi's Pizza, which is my favorite pizzeria. The only ones down here in El Segundo, Tony, they're amazing. They're on the Brooklyn Bridge. It's like the most amazing Italian pizza ever. And they're doing the Buffer Bundle, where for $35, you get a large 18-inch cheese pizza, two beers, big salad, and a cannoli. Don't forget the cannoli.
I love
right?
that.
So tomorrow, I'm going to Grimaldi's. I'm going to be picking up pizzas for 30 or more police officers for Manhattan Beach. I'm going to be doing a drop-off. I'm going to buy and pick up probably 10, 20 pizzas, cannolis, cheesecakes, everything. And I'm bringing them down to the Manhattan Beach Police Department to meet the captain and officers out in front, not inside, and give them their dinner for the evening. Just a little something for first responders. So I'll be doing
that
tomorrow. I'll put it on my social media.
You know, Grimaldi's, they have a secret seasoning that they put into their pizza sauce.
Yep.
You know what it is?
I never
it's
asked.
Time. It's time.
Oh, it's time. Okay. T-H-Y-M-E.
Oh, it's look time. At that. That's good. That's good. I like that. That's good. Took me a minute. Got it. Sorry, I'm slow. That's funny.
There you go. That's the first joke I've made in 3 months. There
oh,
you
man.
Go.
And you got a live reaction. It's awesome.
Well, speaking of jokes around the house, you know, you have a new wifey. How's lifey with during the pandemic? I mean, new wifey, like you're over a year, right? Over a year married? And aren't you having a baby? Are you having a baby?
No, no babies yet. We're at almost 3 years, though. Time flies.
Oh, my gosh. So how's that going being sequestered with your better half?
I love it. It's incredible. Nice. Other than the fact that there's weird shows on in the background all the time, Desperate Housewives, Love is Blind, 90 Day Fiancé is a big one that we love.
That Love is Blind. That Love is Blind was crazy. That's a crazy show.
I can't stand it. I'm not buying it. I think that's the most easily produced, cheap reality show ever.
Scripted.
Oh, my God. So scripted. So easy. It makes me wish that I would have almost gotten into that business of just producing these multi-million dollar reality shows that are so easy and digestible for morons to just soak up. It's incredible that people believe that these people are falling in love with someone behind a shadowy screen.
It's just such a sign of weird, perverse desperation in a certain way. I just can't even imagine putting all my life into one basket. And I think afterwards, at the end of the show, one of the guys, he met the girl, proposed to her, then he admits to her that he's bisexual and gay. And the other ones, I think, you know, it's like, surprise, what are you going to learn in 5 days when somebody's on the other end of a wall? I mean, you're not going to find anything out. Come on. It's crazy.
I would love it if one of the people were actually blind and they opened up the doors and the people can't even find the other person.
That's oh God, Tony. But that would be a true test of love.
Yes, it would be. We'll see if All they right. stick with it then.
A couple of quick stories here. Listen, I think the New York governor, Andrew Cuomo, is amazing, right? The guy's on CNN. He tells it like it is. He stands up for what he's believed. Would you believe he's being sued? All the work that he's doing, the New York governor has been a true hero in all this. A group of, and I understand their reasoning, but it just blows me away. Here's the man trying to save lives, do everything he can to the tune of as much as possible. A group of deaf New York residents, along with a disability rights group out of New York, they're suing Governor Cuomo, claiming that New York is the only state that's never provided proper televised in-frame, ASL interpretation during the COVID-19 briefings. Couldn't somebody just call and say, could you please put an interpreter up there instead of suing and go through all that process?
You would think.
The interpreter is something that I currently simply do not understand whatsoever. It's distracting for the 99% of us that have proper hearing, and deaf people have subtitles. I don't know what's going on to where, I mean, if they didn't learn how to read, then they're pretty much screwed anyway. So why not just pop on subtitles? I'm a little confused about that.
Well, actually, you know, you brought up a good subject because, yes, it's being televised. So I think it'd be CNN's responsibility, wherever it's televised, into Chiron on the bottom of the screen. But on your TV, you have a closed captioning button.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much done automatically.
But what's the problem?
I don't know what. Can you read it again? Like, what are they suing over? Just the fact that there's no American Sign Language person?
It says the organization claimed to reach out to Cuomo's office on the 27th of March requesting a live sign language interpreter, but the office provided only through an online broadcast on the governor's website.
Okay, so no one was even in attendance, right? So, like, no one that was there was deaf and couldn't understand.
Well, then the governor's office claimed that they did have closed captioning on TV, it says here, but the suit claims that closed captioning is not provided on all TV channels broadcasting the briefings, and that it contained errors and omissions. I'm sorry, I don't see this as enough reason to sue Governor Cuomo, who's doing so much.
Well, him personally? That's weird.
Yes.
I don't understand that. I mean, that's the problem with this country. You can sue anybody for anything. And I mean, I don't know many media outlets that don't have closed captioning built in. I mean, Fight Pass has closed captioning built in. Sometimes I hit pause and it'll, like, for whatever reason, pop up on the screen. And it's not always accurate, but let me tell you, it's kind of fun to watch sometimes because it says some crazy things.
Yeah, it always kind of screws up a little bit.
I think that lawsuit's going to fall upon deaf ears for sure.
I think so, too. Here's a couple of things that won't fall upon deaf ears, guys. You know, one of the big things we talked about before COVID-19 was that the natural food chain could possibly... Okay, I missed it. What did I miss? Shit.
He said the lawsuit's going to fall on deaf ears.
Oh, God.
I mean, took me a second.
I don't know if I should laugh for fear of repercussion, but that was pretty good, Tony. That's a good one.
That's going to be one of the weirdest court hearings of all time. Hey.
You are desperate, man. It's been a minute since you've been in front of a live crowd. My goodness.
Throwing them all out there.
Why not?
Listen, right before the COVID-19 pandemic started to hit hard, there was talk about the actual food chain sustaining itself as population grew in the world. Well, now we're facing a situation where, like right now, Tyson Foods, which is warning that millions of pounds of meat could disappear from the supply chain, right? Because the pandemic is pushing food processing plants to close because why? People are not showing up for work, okay? So maybe that's more jobs can be handled out there, but they actually are talking about, we touched on this last week in Waterloo, Iowa, they could actually close the plant, right? Not only that, they had to kill, if I have this correctly, they had to kill like 2 million chickens, right? But they had to kill them prematurely or for reasons of why? Because workers didn't show up for work.
So the problem with chickens, I watched the Morgan Spurlock film, and it was all about like the chicken industry and fast foods. And the reason that they probably had to get rid of them is they're not genetically modified birds per se, but the way that they've been bred, they grow at an exponential rate. And when they get too big, they just start dying of heart attacks because their hearts are so enlarged from the way that they've been, you know, bred over the years. And yeah, like it's really unfortunate. It was probably more humane to kill them early than let them live longer than they're supposed to because they die a pretty miserable death.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. Tony, do you eat? Are you meat eater? All that carnivore? Or you food?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Any problems with your food? Everything's good.
No, everything's good. Everything's great over here. I've been trying to figure out my mom's secret sauce recipe, experimenting twice a week with different beefs and sausages and whatnot.
So, nice. Yeah.
Have you guys been able to get toilet paper yet?
I bought so much.
You're the problem.
I didn't hoard. It's just
I bought so much is how you started that sentence.
for one person, right? I mean, I might have one guest and that's it. My family's down the street. That's all I've been doing. I only see them.
What's so much buffer?
One truckload? No. And I would say easily I've probably got 40 rolls in the garage.
I don't know. I have none, so I'm just saying.
Hey, drive an hour and a half. I'll toss you a couple rolls. Throw me a couple bananas. You know, Tony, I told the other week, one of my friends came by. He wanted 5 shotgun shells for his 12-gauge shotgun. So it was like a scene out of Road Warrior 2, you know, in Bartertown, right? And he comes up, and I hand him 5 shotgun shells. And he hands me a bag with half an empty box of Clorox wipes, half a bottle of Lysol, and a couple of masks. And that was the barter.
We're making trades like it's the Oregon Trail out here. It's
insane. Oh, man. Exactly. If that's not a sign of the future, hey, I don't know what is.
That's how I made it through FM radio for 10 years. Like, my car break down, get on the air and be like, hey, I need a new timing belt and I got a pair of tickets to Ozfest. What's up?
Pretty cool. All right, here's a little collectible talk. You know, Tony, I'm a big collector of artifacts and memorabilia and stuff. Something's coming up here. Bob Dylan. Are you a Bob Dylan fan at all? Or that before your time?
Not really. I mean, I love the way that he writes, but the way that he sings frightens me.
It does frighten a few people, I agree. But he's legendary and great at what he did. But they're bringing out his handwritten lyrics, okay, for the song The Times Are Changing, Subterranean Homesick Blues, and Lay Lady Lay. Okay, they're all coming up for auction. So just to guess how much?
I would say 2 million.
I'll say lower than that.
Tony hit it. Wow. Right under. 2.2 million.
Wow.
His lyric sheet for Homesick Blues is going for 1.2 million. But the song The Times Are Changing, which is one of my favorite songs. 2.2 million. Wow. Tony wins. Lay 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 is at a bargain, 650,000.
He's born in Minnesota, for the record.
Oh, speaking of Minnesota, see the sign behind me? The It's Time sign?
Yeah.
Right there? That's courtesy of Shad Tracy Signs in Minnesota.
Hey.
Right? They did a great job. Yeah. My old computer tech rep lived here, moved there, started his own company, made this beautiful sign. I got it mounted on the wall yet.
Is it made out of metal?
Thank you. It's made out of wood. It's wood that they cut and hand and put together and painted and the whole bit.
That looks great.
So it's really beautiful.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing. So Shad Tracy Signs, check them out if you need signage in Minnesota for your retail store, which I hope opens soon. That's all I can say.
Well, if he's from Minnesota, Tony, he's a great guy.
Tony, great to have you on the show. You know, I just strange times, my friend, and anything I can do to do anything for you, do a video, you need me to pump up and start something off. Let's think out of the box and give entertainment out there to these people. You know,
I'm going to tell you this right now. You keep your eyes on that Comedy Store and when they're opening up, because I can think of no better way. You know, it's been almost 2 years since our 5-year anniversary, right? The last time that we had you open up the show. And I if you're available on that day for that courageous crowd that's the first to come back to the main room for Kill Tony, it would be such an honor to have you there and bring out me and Red Band and to get the party started, because no one does it like you. And I'll be watching you at UFC 249, getting that party started as well. And I'm going to be rooting for you, man. It gives me the chills every time, whether it's at the store or in the octagon. You're just amazing at what you do. And I'm a fan for life and a friend for life.
Thanks, Tony. Friends first, fans second. Thank you so much. I'm your friend first, and I'm a huge fan, as you know. And Tony, honestly, the answer to your question is, I'm there.
I love it. I love it.
Done.
You heard it here,
done.
People.
Yep. He'll even give you toilet paper.
No problem.
You're the one that needs the toilet paper.
That's true. My wife is like, go buy toilet paper. I'm like, I can't. It's nowhere. I can't even buy paper towel.
We can always use the shells, right?
The three shells?
We have to buy some shells. The three shells.
Right.
What movie
was that?
It was Stallone, Demolition Man. Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Let's go eat some Taco Bell.
Yeah, the shells are okay, but none of that Orgasmatron holding a ball routine. Let's not kill that, for God's sake. Jesus. All right, everybody. Tony, love you, bro.
Love you. Thank you, guys.
Take care of yourself. Thank you, bro. Take care. Be safe. Stay sane. Stay sane.
Will do. Absolutely.
All right. Cheers, man.
Thanks, Tony.
Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply. Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply.
It's so cool to have the golden pony, Tony Hinchcliffe, on the show. You know, it's amazing hearing his opinion, what's going on, TJ. It's really tough during these trying times. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, trying times, to say the least. I don't know if you saw this, but the governor, Gavin Newsom, here in California, had actually mentioned that kids going into next year's school year, which normally starts in, you know, the middle part of August, they're actually contemplating starting school in July. Think about that. July.
Of this year?
Correct.
Of this year?
Yes. I mean, not going actually back to physical class like we know, but the next school year could potentially start in July.
Yeah, I've heard this from Kristen. I've also heard there's talk about, you know, with the kids, with Henry and Rupert, there's also talk about the fact that it could be like 2 weeks on and week off.
Yeah,
I'm hearing all this weird stuff.
This is too weird. Like, I understand that we have to evolve and adjust during times like this, Bruce, but like, you're going to rob the kids of summer vacation? And like, that also is odd for me when you think like, okay, well, what about the graduating class that's going to graduate, you know, this year? Essentially, they get off scot-free. They get to go on and get their diploma, and you know they don't have to start school in July. Like, I feel like the kids that are still in school are going to be punished. And if that's the case, if we're going to start in July, like, when do you graduate? You know what I mean? Is it still like June? Is it going to be May?
It's a perverse situation in respect to the fact that they've been home for 2 months now. You could say that's summer vacation, but it's not. It's stay at home staycation.
It's not a staycation. Let me tell you this. Like, I am homeschooling my son. I am his teacher. 2 days a week I do it. 3 days a week my wife does it, and it is more mentally taxing and frustrating on my son than if he were going to school, because he has no contact with his friends. He has a hard time, you know, separating, you know, being at home, and you know how he lives his home life. Compared to having to do schoolwork. Like, yes, it's one thing to do homework. It's another thing to do 4 or 5 hours of homework a day and not be able to go outside. And I'm sorry, like, this is not easy street for everyone. Maybe, you know, good students in high school, sure, this is probably great and it's a breeze. But for a second grader, it's pretty difficult, let me say that.
Yeah, each level has, and I with you and everything you're saying, each level has its own difficulty. You know, we touched before just the loss of innocence that the 12 to 16 year olds, you know, middle school to high school are going through, you know, reaching puberty, increasing their social interaction.
I mean, no prom probably this year for a lot of kids.
No. Well, you know, here's the other thing with the prom and with graduation, you know, that the beautiful incidents of 17 and 18 year olds going into the experience of maybe even, you know, going through loss of virginity and all these things that happen when you're growing up, everything, I know that's crazy, but everything gets delayed.
It's weird to call that out, Bruce, but no, 100%. Like, you're becoming a young man, you're becoming a young woman.
That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, God, like, my senior year of high school, I didn't care about school whatsoever. I didn't like I went to 3 different high schools, okay, because I was working in radio and I needed to ensure that I was in a work release program that would allow me to work in the morning, going to work at 3:30 in the morning and coming to school at 10 o'clock in the morning. Not a lot of schools were really on board with that. They wanted you to come to school in the morning and then go to work in the afternoon. And, you know, I had to go through 3 different high schools to figure out the right program. And so I didn't really care. And I didn't know my senior classmates all that well. But when you hit the second half of the school year and the year turns over, and like, for me, I graduated in 2002. When the year was now 2002, we all just sort of came together in ways that we hadn't before, because it's like, this is the last time in our lives where we're kids. You know what I mean? We're kids and we don't really have a lot of worries, and we're going to, you know, enter adulthood. Like, I understand you're still a student if you go to college and things like that, but you're no longer a kid in a lot of ways when you're no longer in high school. And it was nice to connect that way. And I think that it was one of the more fond memories I had growing up, Bruce. And these seniors this year, they may have had it to a certain extent, but they didn't have it like you and I had it our final year in high school.
I know. You know, we talked about, again, I was, when I referred to the subject I talked about, is that loss of innocence, shall you call it, amongst loss of other grand experiences growing up. But the social interaction, you know, before the COVID-19 thing, we would talk, kid, be serious about the fact that phones, technology, texting, it's taking away from the ability to communicate. And then when COVID-19 hit, it's almost like we're forced into an ability to communicate and communicate better with the people that we're talking to. Now, from the extension of the COVID-19 stay-at-home thing with the Zoom meetings and interaction on video, we're right back to lack of communication again, right, in certain ways. And we're not refining and educating and forming and flaking these beautiful male and female minds growing up to the hopeful level that we should. This right. is a real test of a generation, well, man. This is a real test.
Also, too, I think that, you know, you want to talk about developing skills and developing, you know, life experiences. It's one thing to make business happen online. And you and I are looking at each other right now. I can see you. It's almost like we're hanging out. But yeah. I am still not with you. You know what I mean? We are still not right. together. And there are personal skills and business skills that are developed when you're face-to-face. And I'm sorry, even though we're quote-unquote face-to-face, this is a simulacra of real life. And I think my skills as a communicator, while a lot of them are the same here and I call upon them, it's still a different experience. And if you do this for 20 years and then have a real face-to-face meeting, you're going to find out that you don't even consider a lot of the things that are going on in a room when you're like this. And sometimes those things can be the keys to closing a deal and really leaving an impression on someone, and you don't get that vibe.
Eye-to-eye contact, direct contact, it's all in there. You know, we talk about the
stay on that microphone, you got to get closer.
Eye contact, direct contact, closing a deal, making mm-hmm. things happen, talking with your eyes, showing your emotion, mm-hmm. all these things, even learning how to be an actor, right? Or even yeah. how to be a comedian. I mean, it's just, anyway, it's so far-fetched and so far-reaching and right. repercussions everywhere. Let's talk about something else. You know, graduation, we touched on this last week. We got so many people calling us, or rather contacts, regarding the lack of graduations out there. You know, the wonderful experience. Granted, you might be doing it for your family and your friends more so. We're all different. I enjoyed my graduation. I loved when I got my diploma and, you know, threw my hat in the air. And I actually did a 360 at 18.
No way.
When
I got, that was the first 360. Look at that.
I know, I remember this the other day. I got my diploma, I walked down and I jumped up and did a 360 in front of everybody and landed, and, you know, like I was so happy and threw my hat in the air. And, you know, that was probably my first 360 in public, right. although in martial arts, I've done it many times.
Sure.
Anywho, so what Kristen and I did, and this was all Kristen's idea, I touched on it last week, that we were going to offer like discounted fees to be virtual, announce and commemorate their graduation virtually in video and audio. And it took off. We put it out on Instagram on Monday. Right after right. this, we've got to film at least 3 or 4 videos and audios coming in and more coming in.
That's awesome.
I'm happy about that. Yeah. And then we'll get partial proceeds, you know, to COVID-19 charities along with the animal, military, and children. But right now I want to find the best COVID-19 charity out there to get something to. And that's the reason we're doing this, but they're loving it. You know, it's just, again, another loss.
Right. No,
you could say you don't care about getting your diploma. It doesn't matter. No. It's a moment in your life
right.
that you'll never have again.
Right. And that's one thing that I'll say. Like, I didn't really want to go to my graduation commencement. It wasn't something that meant anything to me. Like I told you, I didn't really get along. Not that I didn't get along. Like, I mean, by the time I had showed up to high school my senior year, I had worked a 9 to 10 hour day sometimes. You know what I mean? So it's like I was spent. But it's more about your family to see. Like, my mom didn't graduate high school. I did. It meant something for her to see me, you know, walk across the stage and get the diploma. One thing that I would think is, dang, like, I'd be a lot more willing to walk across the stage and do that if I had Bruce Buffer, you know, even if it was just something I listened at home saying congratulations. And, yeah, like, that's something that, I mean, people, I think, will enjoy, quite a bit. And also too, we mentioned prom kind of going away. One of my favorite things each year is seeing some of the unique ways that students ask their, you know, potential prom date to the dance. And you're not able to do that this year. So people want to be creative. I don't think there's a better way to be creative than have Bruce Buffer roaring your name, you know, congratulations.
you know, a couple of those have come in, and it's fun to do, and then we get the thank you response. Listen, I just enjoy, whether it's a wedding, birth of a baby, or the championship intros, or these graduation things, I enjoy being part of people's special day.
Right.
My life and my job, I picked a job where I'm supposed to enhance your moment.
Right.
And that's what I want to do. I want to enhance your moment.
You own and the spotlight and shine it brighter on the people that you're working in front of, and that is a truly unique thing.
Thank you, TJ. With that being said, for those of you that would like to look into graduation, just write my office. Go to brucebuffer.com, email us through the website, you have the intro information there, or just email us direct, info@brucebuffer.com. And the wonderful VP of Buffer Enterprises, Kristen, will be contacting you back, and we'll give you all the information you need to know how to get what you want.
That's
and
awesome.
We're happy to be.
That's awesome. Yep. And super affordable. That's a great thing. And then partial proceeds, like you mentioned, go into a COVID-19 charity. Another thing, you know, I mean, maybe you don't get your diploma, maybe things through, you know, your high school life, up in the air a little bit, just get Bruce Buffer to say you graduated and then use that for any job, you know, interview or college admissions. Like, Bruce Buffer said I graduated, must be true.
Yeah. Well, just remember, when I get a script, I expect that script to be true and classy, and it gets done. What you do from that point forward, that's your choice.
Yeah. I mean, if I don't tell you the whole story, it's not on you. You did what you were supposed to do. Now, what I do with it, that's on me.
Absolutely. Okay, sounds
TJ,
good.
TJ, congratulations for graduating from Harvard. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. TJ, we normally talk about the upcoming UFC, like 249. Let's save it to next week.
Sure.
Because there could be additions or changes to this absolutely drop-dead amazing card.
It's the greatest card I've seen since the UFC 200. No joke.
It's right there. I'm looking at it now. But we'll save it. Let's save it. Okay. We'll do this for next week. And go ahead, TJ. Anything you want to tell the audience?
I'd love it if anybody checked out some of the mixed martial arts content that I produce. It's called Between Rounds Radio. Multiple shows. Doing a really fun, unique exercise. I don't know if I've told you about it yet, Bruce. It's a game that I'm playing with people. I asked them to come up with 100 figures in MMA where you tell the story of mixed martial arts. And you can only tell the story with the names that are on your list. So, for example, if I were to say Bruce Buffer is on my list, Bruce became the most well-known announcer in mixed martial arts history, leading to many other announcers to try to follow in his footsteps. I'm not allowed to name the other announcers that also do it because you would be the only one that would be on my list. For example, again, if I say the Ultimate Fighter, I would say the Ultimate Fighter was vital to the UFC's history and making it a mainstream sport in North America. Unless I have both Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner on my list, I can't say their names. So it would be the Ultimate Fighter took place, and in their finale, they had a fantastic fight between two individuals where 10 million people were watching for 6 minutes and the sport blew up. Or I could say Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin if both they're on my list and the Ultimate Fighter is on my list. You find out that to tell the story as a whole, you have to cut out a lot of people. It's not so much who's on your list. It's kind of about who's not. And I find that to be interesting. So check that out. It's available anywhere you get podcasts, Between Rounds Radio. And our premium stuff is over on Patreon, patreon.com/Between Rounds.
Very cool. Very cool. Keep it busy, TJ. Name of the game. Got to keep busy.
Trying.
And also, everybody listening, too, you want to check out the show, whether you're watching it on video as you're listening right now or if you're listening on audio. But you need to know that we started the YouTube channel for It's Time. TJ, again, what should they on YouTube? What's the best way to search?
If they just go to YouTube and do a search for It's Time with Bruce Buffer, it will come up. Another thing. So all of our episodes are going on YouTube, regardless of whether or not we shoot video. If we have some, you know, video issues or you're traveling and we're not able to shoot video, you can still find the archive there. So they need to go find the page. It's your username is Bruce Buffer. We're still waiting on the approval of the custom URL. Hopefully we can tell people it's, you know, just head over to youtube.com/it's time or something like that. But they can subscribe and, you know, along with the audio that we give on our normal outlets, you'll be able to get audio and or video over on YouTube.
Yeah, very cool. So if you do listen to the show, I'm asking you, to our loyal listeners out there, we love you all. Take the time, go to YouTube, look up
Bruce Buffer, It's Time Radio. Subscribe to the website because then you'll get the notices when we publish a show.
Here's an idea, too. Like, maybe we just go through the subscribers, you know, once every month and give away a championship introduction. So, you know,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, fine if we start a thing where, you know, people send in their questions and the most unique question, I'll pick one a month and I will deliver a championship introduction.
You and I have talked about doing some premium content, and a lot of podcasts have moved to that. And, you know, not necessarily saying that we're going to do a paywall per se, but if, you know, there was a paywall or something like that, where we could, you know, invite people to do, you know, questions, and maybe if there was a paywall, we do a much bigger giveaway. You know what I mean? If we're, you know, having a lot of success with that, then, you know, maybe it's two tickets to UFC. You never know.
I can give, well, let's hope we have tickets.
No, what I'm saying, honestly, what I'm saying is if we're successful enough, it's not, you know, your comp tickets, Bruce, we'll buy them. Oh, you know what I mean? So
I'm fine getting two tickets.
Sure.
I was just saying when we have tickets available because there's a live audience. That's what I'm saying.
As soon as
we have a live audience,
trust me, you know what the problem is, Bruce? Life is sort of normal at times, and I kind of get lost in it. And when I'm doing a show with you, it feels normal. And then I turn the machine off, and it's like, oh yeah, hello, silence, my only friend.
Well, you know, at the same time too, listen, we get back up again doing shows. I get no problem doing tickets. I'll give away $1,000 worth of tickets to a show. I'll even give away a dinner with me the Friday night before for something big to our subscribers. So subscribe to the show, folks.
Yeah.
We come up with this stuff. You're going to have a chance to get some stuff. And one of the other things I want to talk about real quick before I sign off. It's very important, as I mentioned earlier, to stay physically, mentally strong. Take this time, stay at home, eat right, feel right, be right, do your training. There's a lot of things out there people are wanting for their kids.
Yep.
Kids need exercise. Kids need to be trained. They're home now.
Yeah.
These energetic little bundles of supreme energy need to work out.
Right.
So many fitness places in your area are offering Zoom workouts and video workouts and workouts on FaceTime. I'll give you an example. A good friend of mine named Kitty Ladoche, she owns a dojo I mentioned before called the Undisputed Fight Academy in Manhattan Beach, California. Before it closed down, she had a lot of students, you know, young kids and adults and everything. So how do people like that keep their businesses alive? Obviously with video training. Just go check out, you can look it up on UFA and a Google or Undisputed Fight Academy, no matter where you're at in the country. She has these videos to train young kids. You know, kids training anywhere from 5 to, let's say, 15 in Muay Thai training for an hour and fitness training. It's great.
Yeah.
Put your kids in front of this. Let them train with them. Check it out. But there's many places that offer this. But right now, I'm going to give an example to see what it's like. Go to the UndisputedFightAcademy.com, UFA, Undisputed Fight, and check out what's there. Put your kids in a program.
Right.
Wear them out, you know?
Yeah, well,
let them relax. What do you say to that, father? What do you say?
100%. So my son and I, we try to go out to – we don't have a big yard or anything. I mean, we live in Southern California. You know better than anyone, Bruce. We don't have a lot of space. We build on every inch of space, essentially, when you live in neighborhoods. And so we have a cul-de-sac. And I take him out, and we throw the football around, and sometimes we even when we don't run around too much, we're just go outside and just get some fresh air and stretch out a little bit. Because this is one thing that I've learned more than anything. My son is 8 years old, and this is something that I've never gone through in my life, let alone he's definitely never gone through in his life. And the habits that he will have as an adult, they are formed right now. And it is very easy to sort of kind of get stuck in the binge watching mindset because there's nothing to do. You can't really go anywhere. And yeah, that's great. Do that. Enjoy yourself. Relax a little bit. But at the same time, do not wallow in the idea that there's nothing to do. So why even try? Make things happen. And that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to show that, you know, I still work. I still leave the house. I'm an exception. Your mother stays home. She still works. But look, we're being productive. You need to be productive. You need to do your schoolwork, and you need to be a kid and exert that energy. And yes, it's not in typical ways, but you still got to do it, Bruce. And I think an online academy like that is perfect. I might actually check that out for my son.
Yeah, check it out because, you know, actually I would like your opinion on it because my opinion being dojos that I've seen in training, I've seen all over the world, great kids program. The coach, Ladoche takes a lot of pride in it, which is very important. Anybody that's staying open and doing this obviously takes pride in their work.
Well, that's one thing that I'm thinking about. My son's old enough now. He definitely likes to – I have a pair of focus mitts, and he'll put on the boxing gloves and hit those. I'm not the best pad holder, but maybe it's time to upgrade to some tie pads and let him start kicking. That might be fun.
Yeah, the kicking, the elbows. I put Henry through ladder workout and strike, and Rupert yesterday, we started going through striking workouts, and I got a list of the UFA's fitness training for the kids, right? Mm-hmm. And I took a number of things and put them through it. Yes, they loved it. They loved it.
Bruce, I mean, we're stuck inside, man.
You know, exactly. Like, that's my point. Yeah, that's my point.
Anything that gets a kid, you know, a nice little sweat and maybe makes them sleep better at night, that's a good thing. That's where it's at right now.
Yeah, it gives us some self-confidence. We all know the beauty of martial arts, and we all know the beauty of Muay Thai training. And, you know, let's face it,
right.
Good stuff. All right, everybody, check it out. It's an example. I'm saying this more so not just to check out the UndisputedFightAcademy.com here in Manhattan Beach, which can give you training all across the country or wherever you're at in the world for your kids. And also adult classes, too. I'm just telling you right now, again, I'm going to repeat it. I say it every show. I'll say it every week. Now is the time to eat right, feel right, be right, and get yourself in the best shape possible mentally and physically. So, again, when we come out of this to the slow graduation evolutionary new process we are going to be in, when we come out of this, you want to be in the best shape you can be to do the best you can, whether you need to get a new job, recreate your old job, revamp your old job, or maintain the consistency of work effort you've been putting forth. It's all about effort and consistency. And to be successful, you have to show effort, you have to show self-motivation, and you have to be consistent.
Right.
Okay? That's what I want to say. TJ, yeah. Love you, brother. We'll be back next week for another great show. Anything else you want to tell before I sign off?
No. Just on that consistency, you know, a lot of people talk to me about podcasts. I've produced a lot. I honestly don't know how many. Well over 5,000 individual episodes for sure. I always say that there are three C's to a solid podcast. One is content. You have to be producing quality content. Two is continuity. You have to have a production level that is consistent from one episode to the other. So you need to create that production continuity. And the last one is consistency. You need to release shows on a regular basis at a, you know, approximate same time every single week. And consistency, continuity, and content. You can apply that to every area of your life and every passion that you have.
I love that. And we're going to throw in my bufferism of I live by, which is BSC. We are still in life. Every time you get ready to do something in life, whatever you choose to do, you need BSC. That's called balls, skill, and confidence, right? Balls because you're going to make the effort. And you're going to put yourself at risk and you're going to take the challenge. Skill because you taught yourself, you learned and you educated yourself and trained and everything possible for that endeavor you're about to take. And confidence because you believe in yourself that you can perform and be the best you can be to win. And that's how I sign off the show, folks. A little BSC. Everybody out there, set your goals, write them down, learn about them. So when you set on that path, whether it's during the pandemic, after the pandemic, or a future pandemic, the ability is to know what you're doing, attack it, go for it, and be the best you can be, because when you do that, then you're winning. It doesn't matter if you're the greatest. It's just about being the best you can be. Get it done, everybody. Train mentally, physically. Take this time. Be the best you can be. I'll be back next week, and we will be the best we can be again. We're only as good as today, folks. So be as good as you can be, and I'll see you next week. Buffer out.
The preceding podcast was a TJ DeSantis production. Comments, questions, and inquiries can be directed to desantisprod@gmail.com.
Advancements in the medical field are giving nurses faster, more effective results than ever before. They should expect the same from their education, too. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format allows you to set your own deadlines and leverage your experience to move faster through your program. So the faster you move, the more money you save. When you're ready, we'll be here. Visit capella.edu for a trial course at no cost to you. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter.
Total Wine & More announces points with a purpose. Now through September 13th, collect 5x points on wines and spirits. Points earned equals a matching donation to local charities. Up to $2 million in total. Shop with us today or visit TotalWine.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.